you didn't get one, there's some spare copies and pens on this central table here where we serve communion. So just grab one from there if you'd like to. Why don't we just take a few minutes to say hello to one another, greet, maybe meet somebody new, and then we'll move on with the service in a minute or so.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name's Rebecca.
I'm Trish.
And we are middle school math teachers and youth group leader twinsies.
We are so happy to be with you this morning to talk about the movie Coda. And our theme today is stepping out in our differences and loving those who step out in their differences. Now, the title Coda is actually a play on words. If you know music theory at all, Coda means like the end of a musical phrase. But it also is an acronym for Child of Deaf Adults. Now, we ourselves are not Codas, and we actually know that there are people in this community who are. And so we just appreciate the opportunity to share our perspectives about the movie, despite the fact that we probably certainly cannot understand it as much as they can. The movie Coda won an Oscar for Best Film in 2022, and the man who plays the father, Troy Koster, won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actor, and I think you'll see why in just a few minutes.
You should have received a handout when you came in. If not, there are some handouts here and maybe on the side, so feel free to grab some. There's pens on the middle table. We, as we said, we're teachers, so we wanted to make this interactive, if you'd like, for those of you on Zoom. Feel free to take a second to go grab your journal or a piece of paper. We will flash up the questions as we are speaking about them.
All right. So let's get into the movie. We are going to introduce you to the Rossi family. They live on the coast of New England. Ruby, who's the main character in this movie, is the teenage daughter, and she is the only hearing person in her family. In this first scene, you'll meet Ruby, her dad, her brother, Leo, and they are fishermen. A typical day for Ruby is waking up very early, going out on the fishing boat to help her dad and brother, coming back to shore, helping interpret the sail of that fish, and then still living a typical teenager life, going to high school, etc. We're going to cut from that scene to another scene from the beginning of the movie that will show the family at dinner, where you'll also get to meet the mom, played by Marley Matlin. And warning, there are references to drinking and smoking in this clip.
A Vendome Pictures production in association with Pathé. A title appears, Coda. A ship appears in the distance. A rusty fishing trawler rocks with the waves. The hull reads, Angela plus Rose. On deck, a teenage girl in a baseball cap and rubber fishing gear sings as she cranks a lever. Two more fishermen, one in his 20s and one older with a graying beard, stand by as a large net is reeled in.
I just want to tell you right now.
Seagulls scatter as the fisherwoman releases the net and fish spill into a holding bin. They sort them into orange baskets. The young man examines a lobster and tosses it aside. The girl finds a soggy shoe and waves her pick to get the young man's attention. She holds up the shoe, raising her brows. He gestures, too small. She throws it over anyway. They get back to work, cranking the music. The beer bearded fisherman dumps ice over the sorted crates of fish as the fisherwoman heads into the cabins. Later, they approach a shoreline as she hoses down the trawler deck. She tosses a rag aside and holds onto a rope as she stares out of the lighthouse, standing on the rocky shore. The boat pulls up to a harbor pier. Jackie works in another room. Ruby gives them an incredulous glance, trying to focus on her homework. She tosses her pencil down and puts in earbuds. As her mom sets out plates and silverware, she bangs the table.
Take those off. It's rude.
What's rude is how noisy you guys are.
I can't focus.
Jackie throws up her hands and smacks Leo.
Go eat.
Ruby's dad, Frank, plops down at the table across from her. She slaps his hand and covers her nose with her sweatshirt. He signs.
You know why God made farts smell?
She shrugs.
So deaf people could enjoy them too.
She smiles and shakes her head. Jackie sets a bottle of wine on the table and pulls back Ruby's shoulders.
Don't slouch. You'll get stuck.
$15? Really?
You choose weed, I choose wine.
She taps Leo, and he shows his phone.
You don't want her. Swipe left. None of them smile?
So, she's hot.
He dramatically swipes right.
When I was modeling.
Oh, here we go.
Yes, your mother was the best. First year I met her, she won the Yankee Miss Pageant.
She won the Yankee Miss Pageant. Mm-hmm.
Beat all those hearing girls. She was hotter than all of them.
He smacks her butt, and she points to Leo's screen.
What about her? So-so.
Ruby pounds the table.
I thought we said no Tinder at the table. How is music rude, but Tinder's okay?
Because Tinder is something we can all do as a family.
The family nods.
As Rebecca said earlier, we're going to talk about differences today. Let's start by talking about how Ruby might feel different in different areas of her life. She's not the one who's deaf, yet it's probably easy to see why she might struggle with feeling different. She's the only hearing person in her family, and her mom, dad, and brother don't always understand her and her needs, like we just saw in this scene with the noise that they were making that happened to distract her. The family also relies on her to interpret or translate for them when they're out in the community. She interprets for them when they sell their fish, when they meet with other fishermen. There's a very funny scene where she has to interpret at the doctor's office with her mom and dad. We're not going to see that, but feel free to see that at home. She orders for them at restaurants, and we learn that they must always have a hearing person on their boat. Ruby not only feels different from her family being the only hearing person, but she also feels different from her peers because she has a deaf family, and because she goes out on the boat every morning, comes to school afterwards, doesn't always remember to shower, and smells like fish. As a result, she's been bullied for both of those reasons. So she feels different in both of her worlds, with her family and with her peers at school. Wonder if any of you have ever felt different in the different worlds that you've lived in. Her family also feels different and unaccepted by their hearing community. In fact, we see in another scene that they're offered lower prices for their fish because they couldn't hear what everyone else was being offered. Now we want you to think about some differences that you might face. So this would be the time you can take out your handout and jot down any thoughts to these questions that you'll see on the left side that says stepping out in our differences. Question 1A, when have you felt different from those around you? How does it feel to be different? How have people responded to your differences? And when we talk about differences, these could be differences that are perceived as positive or negative, however you interpret it. I'm going to give you a few seconds to jot a few things down. also want to explore being different from the other side. At the end of the movie, there's a song called Both Sides Now by Joni Mitchell. Thinking of both sides of being different, now we want to think about how do we respond to others who are different from us. Now look at the right side of your sheet that's labeled loving others and their differences, and feel free to jot down any thoughts to these questions. Think about when you've been confronted with people who are different from you. How do you tend to react?
You guys can continue to write down as we get into this next clip. So in the opening clip, you got to hear Ruby singing, and it turns out that she really enjoys singing. She signs up for chorus even, which is, of course, very impractical. It's not going to help the family's fishing business at all. And it's also something that her deaf family might have a hard time understanding and appreciating. It required a lot of courage on her part. In fact, in one scene, her first choir rehearsal, she actually ran out, afraid that the other kids would make fun of her singing. And this stemmed from a time when she was really little. When she first went to elementary school, she spoke differently from the other children. She spoke like her deaf parents. But Ruby came back. She came back to talk with her choir director. So that's who we're going to meet right now, her choir director, Mr. V. And then that feeds right into the next scene where we see her mom's reaction to her signing up for the for choir.
Eddie's Ruby as she packs her backpack.
You can sing. I mean, you have no control, but your tone is lovely.
Thanks. It's my favorite thing.
What are you doing next year?
I don't know. Working with my dad?
No college?
I'm not good at school.
Miles is auditioning for Berklee College of Music. I've been coaching him for his audition. What? You don't know Berklee?
I've heard of it.
Come on. I grew up in Mexico City, and even I knew Berklee. Abel Laboriel, the famous bassist, went there.
I did, too.
I can't afford school.
They have scholarships.
Mr. V moves closer and leans on the piano.
How do you feel when you sing?
I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Try.
Ruby's gaze goes distant, and she hesitantly meets his eye. She draws a hand up to her chest and gently twirls her fingers. She shakes her head and rubs her fist over her belly with a churning motion. She releases her hands, spreading her fingers wide. She points to herself and holds one hand flat as she walks two fingers across the back of it. Her fingers lift off and drift into the air. Her eyes follow their motion until she gracefully flicks out her wrist, sending them off. Without moving, she looks back to Mr. V, who watches her, subtly nodding. He returns to his piano.
You would need to sight read and learn a classical piece. I need you nights and weekends. I do not waste my time. So if I'm offering, it's because I hear something.
A small smile spreads across Ruby's face. At home, she sits alone at the table, eating a bowl of cereal. Her mom joins her with eggs and coffee. Ruby watches her and gets her attention.
I joined the choir.
Jackie frowns.
Why?
I like to sing.
Her mom rolls her eyes and shakes her head as she returns to her breakfast.
What?
Jackie shrugs and waves her off.
You're a teenager.
She gives Ruby's hand a patronizing squeeze.
If I was blind, would you want to paint?
Why is it always about you? I'm meeting people. I'm making friends. You know what?
We see quite a contrast between the choir director's and Mom's response to her desire to sing. Stepping out in our differences most likely means that we have to face other people's opinions, whether that's good or bad. Mr. V asked her questions and listened to her explain her passion for singing. He really listened. And when he asked her, "How do you feel when you sing?" even though she struggled to answer at first, he communicated that he really cared, that he really wanted to hear how she felt. And even though it took her courage, she described her passion in the best way that she knew how, by signing. That was such a powerful scene. Her mom, however, was quick to dismiss her and say, "You're just a teenager. Would you choose to paint if I was blind?" Yow! I heard a couple people react to that. That's how I felt when I first heard that. Have you ever felt dismissed or unheard like that when you've tried to describe your passion to somebody? Have you ever felt hurt by someone who loves you because you wanted to do something that might have been different or not expected of you? For you youth in the room or online, can you relate to feeling misunderstood by your parents or family sometimes? Have you ever struggled to communicate what you're passionate about or not passionate about to your parents, especially when it's different than what's considered expected of you or normal? We also want to look at the flip side, though, for Ruby's mom. Let's not be so quick to judge her without considering maybe why she reacted that way. Maybe her mom was afraid. We learn from her mom in another scene that she was afraid when she found out that Ruby could hear when she was a newborn. She was worried that she wouldn't be able to connect or relate to her daughter because of their differences. And we learn that Ruby's a senior, so maybe her mom was also afraid of Ruby's choices after graduation, and how that might affect their family since they depend on her so much. Those are big and valid fears. Like Ruby, I made a choice to pursue a passion of mine when I was 18 that went outside the normal or what was expected of me for my family and friends, especially living in rural Wisconsin, though not at the same level that Ruby experienced. I loved playing piano, and I dreamt of touring in a band. My dad played guitar a little bit, but no one else in my family was a musician. I discovered a ministry called Lutheran Youth Encounter that sent out touring musical ministry teams around the world for a year, putting on concerts 6 days a week and ministering primarily to youth. Though I was nervous, I applied, not knowing much about the ministry. I'd never seen a band perform. I didn't know anyone in the ministry, and I really wasn't sure that I was good enough as a piano player. I've always struggled with self-esteem and confidence, so it was a really big deal for me to apply to do this. But it was a passion that I had, and I decided to go for it. I was eventually accepted, and I was placed on a team that was to tour the East Coast. This was happening between my freshman and sophomore years of college, so it was extra hard for my family to understand why I was choosing to leave college. And many of my friends and family stayed close to home, so this was really outside of normal for my people back at home. It was also considered different for my church home. They didn't believe in having electric instruments and drums in their sanctuary, so I wasn't even allowed to perform back at my home church. It was ultimately a life-changing year for me. It ultimately led to me moving out here and wanting to do youth ministry in my future. It took courage for me to apply for that opportunity, not knowing if I was good enough, kind of like Ruby was wondering if she was really a good singer. Plus, I made this choice, let alone choosing to tour for a year with people that I didn't know, delaying college, kind of going against the norm for those back at home, but I'm so glad that God gave me the courage and wisdom to pursue such an amazing opportunity. Maybe you have a passion or a talent that you've considered pursuing, even though it might carve a different path for you from those around you. Let's look at some more questions on our handouts. On the left side, under number 2A, you could jot down some thoughts about, have you ever felt driven to pursue something or have an interest in something that others didn't understand? Have you ever loved something as much as Ruby loves singing, but you were afraid to show it? We also want to explore the flip side and consider how we've responded to other people's dreams or pursuits. You can also answer these questions on the other side under 2B, where it says, have you ever not responded supportively to others' dreams and interests? Was fear at the root of it?
The Bible actually has lots of stories of people stepping out in courage with what they felt called to do, despite what others around them thought. My mind instantly went to David, as in David and Goliath from the Old Testament. Here he was, this young shepherd. He went to check out his brothers on the battlefield and saw and heard Goliath threatening them all. When no one else would step forward to fight this Philistine champion, young David did. His older brothers and the other soldiers absolutely dismissed him, told him to just go home, go tend the sheep. Somehow he convinced King Saul that he could do it. But even then, Saul tried to lend him his armor, you know, like to do it in the way that Saul envisioned. And David wasn't having it. It wasn't his style. All he needed, all he was comfortable with, was that slingshot and stone. And he stepped out in courage, using just that, just him being him. And ultimately, he was victorious. We love this passage, or this verse in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. God was trying to encourage Joshua, who had taken over for the role of Moses, leading the Israelites in the desert. This verse says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That's true for us today, isn't it? We can step out in courage knowing that God is with us. We also hear about using our passions, gifts, and interests in this verse in the New Testament in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4, verses 10 through 11. This is from the Message. Be generous with the different things God gave you, passing them around so all get in on it. If words, let it be God's words. If help, let it be God's help. That way, God's bright presence will be evident in everything through Jesus, and he'll get all the credit as the one mighty in everything. Encores to the end of time. Oh, yes. We love the Message's enthusiasm. Be generous with all that God has given you. Be generous. Don't hide it, that light under that bushel, right? You all know that song from Sunday school. Whether it's your resources, abilities, gifts, words, interests, whatever it is that makes you, you, be strong and courageous. Ruby stepped out. She took a risk of being ridiculed by both her peers and her parents to find that she had a gift to share. And later in the film, she stepped out in courage to audition for the Berklee School of Music, even though it could mean that really scary possibility of leaving her family. Not unlike those disciples that Jesus called to his team. They had to leave their families, their jobs, their homes, everything they knew. It takes courage.
As the movie progresses, we find out that the family has started a co-op with other local fishermen called Fresh Catch to get a better profit for their catch. In the meantime, the family also gets in trouble for not having a hearing person on their boat one day. In response to that, Ruby makes the decision to give up her dream to go to music school, to stay home and help her family with their fishing business instead. It was a decision that she made out of love for her family, but her brother wasn't happy about it. And in the next scene, we find out why.
Toward him, he scoffs at her.
Get lost.
You hiding?
Not very well.
He hops off his perch and walks off. Ruby pulls him back.
You still mad at me?
You can't fish full time.
Why not?
Gertie told me that you can really sing. That's special. You can't stay here. They'll keep looking to you for everything.
What else am I supposed to do?
Let me do this. I got this. I'm the older brother, and I get treated like a baby. I haven't been able to do a thing with Fresh Catch.
Because it all involves talking to hearing people.
So what? Who cares? You're so afraid that we'd look stupid. Let them figure out how to deal with deaf people. We're not helpless. Our family was fine before you were born.
As we see from this, Ruby's brother Leo is really struggling to step out in his desire to lead the family business due to difficulties with communicating with those around him. Not unlike Ruby, he had to have the courage to stand up for himself, both with the fishing community and with his family. His being deaf definitely made this a challenge, but it wasn't impossible. He needed courage, just like she did, to step into his capabilities. Ruby thinks she's doing the right thing by giving up her dream to college to help her family. Her brother doesn't want her to do that for her and for himself. He wants Ruby to give him the chance to handle the family business without her. So we're going to bring up my daughter Maddie now to talk about her differences and what that has meant to her story. Come on up, Maddie. So, Maddie, would you tell us a little about yourself, and would you be kind enough to tell us a little about your disability?
Yeah, so I am 20 years old. I'm currently studying at Salisbury University for health science and getting my minor in communications. I was born with a rare genetic mutation to a condition known as spinal muscular atrophy. And in my case, it only affects the lower half of my body. So the full diagnosis is spinal muscular atrophy, lower extremity dominant.
Good job.
Big word.
Yeah. And what do you think about the word disability?
I would say I don't particularly prefer the word disability since, I don't know, it just makes me, it implies that I can't be seen as independent.
How do you feel when people ask you about your disability?
I would much rather have someone come up to me and ask me rather than make assumptions. I've experienced both sides. I've had people genuinely ask me, like, what's your disability? What's wrong with you? Although it can sound a little hurtful. And then, of course, I've had the sort of negative side, and I've had people bully me for it, but, yeah.
Well, of course, we know you are a strong, smart, capable, kind, and beautiful person, and you are a person with a physical disability. So how do you prefer people treat you? Do you want people to treat you like you're able-bodied, or assuming that you'll need help?
It's tricky for me to answer. I think it requires just needing to know me a little better and knowing my body language. I tend to hide things, but am very stubborn, but expressive in my body language. You know, some days are a little harder than others. I may need more assistance. I may need more time to do stuff in the morning, but overall, it just takes a little knowledge of me as a person.
That makes sense. Just to knowing you better kind of helps answer that question. So, Maddie, I know that you also struggle with mental health issues. And how does that compare to having a physical disability?
Yeah, and just going back to it, like, it's harder to see a mental health issue, especially for me, since I tend to hide my mental health struggles more than my physical struggles, because you can actually see them. For me, it can be harder to ask for help in certain situations. I don't always know what I need. You know, I struggle from anxiety, so I have panic attacks here and there. And I'm afraid to ask for help in the fear of judgment and people thinking I can control it on my own, because I, you know, deal with it, but it can be hard to ask for help in that sense.
That makes sense. All right. What do you wish you could say to people who are trying to step out in their differences?
It takes time. It's taken time for me. I'm still figuring things out on my own, and I've been dealing with this for 20 years of my life. But just know, like, keep persisting, and don't be afraid to show your true colors. And then it can be hard to deal with the fear of judgment, and I've definitely felt excluded from things, and it's been lonely, it's been hard, and just giving myself time and grace has really helped, and just like this, slowly taking small opportunities to put myself out there more has been a big thing to show who I truly am.
And I bet it depends on, it makes a difference if you can find the people that you really trust too.
Absolutely.
To find those safe people.
Yeah, and just, I mean, for me, surrounding yourself with good people who see you for you is the best thing, and I would not be here today if it wasn't for the people in my life, like my mom and Trish and my family. I really wouldn't be here without them.
On the flip side, what would you say to people who are trying to love others who are different?
I would say be observant, look around you, and consider others' needs. You know, it's hard, but it's not about the pity, because then it makes me and people with disabilities feel less of, like, human and incapable of other things. And, you know, it's just not the best feeling, but also just being kind and curious. Like, I'm a normal human being. I know I might, I say it all the time. If you look at me, like, knowing nothing about me, you wouldn't suspect that I had anything. But I just would much rather have someone be curious, not too curious and not too observant. You know, I've had my fair share of, you know, little awkward moments of people staring at me if I'm in my wheelchair, just walking, but of course I, you know, give a little wave and a smile to show I'm, you know, human. I'm not an alien. I know I'm out I sound like it. I know it can take a lot of courage to ask questions, just as much as it takes me courage to ask for help. And in the great words of Ted Lasso.
Yes, Ted Lasso.
Be curious and not judgmental. It requires care, sensitivity, nuance, and really knowing the person well enough to read their body language and just ask questions. And any opportunity that I can take, I will love to educate people on this.
That's right. So, Maddie, you played field hockey in high school. Tell us about what made that experience so special.
I could be here all day, but I'll save you guys the time. Don't worry. No, field hockey was the best 4 years of my life. I had the best team in the world. They truly worked with me and made me feel like I was part of the team. You know, on and off the field, it was just like family, and I loved it. My team really did accommodate for me. You know, we worked with strategy on the field to make me feel safe and comfortable. You know, they helped me in my struggles off the field with things that I was dealing with, but never made me feel like a burden or, you know, opened up their arms for me to ask them for help.
Love it. Well, let's give Maddie a round of applause for her courage today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great job, sweetie. It takes courage to step out in our differences. Maddie stepped out in courage to play sports in high school. She could easily have been dismissed, not accepted, or the coach could have invited her on the team and just had her sit the bench, right? That's the reality. Ruby, in the movie, she could have simply chosen not to join the choir. Why take the risk? David, from the Old Testament, could have chosen to let the army take care of Goliath, not his problem. But everybody in these situations felt a calling. All of them stepped out. And when they stepped out, they put themselves at the mercy of others. They were vulnerable. Some people made it easier for them, and others did not. So we're going to transition to thinking more about how can we help and support those who step out in their differences? How can we love them?
We're going to show two last clips here put together, where we're going to show Ruby at her spring choral concert. Her parents and her brother attend, but as you can imagine, they struggle to engage with the music and with the people around them. You'll see them looking around, trying to understand what's happening. Before the clip that we'll be showing, the parents were even signing to one another, oblivious of what was happening on the stage because they couldn't completely relate, and they were signing about what they were going to have for dinner. We've chosen to show this first clip without any audio descriptors because it's a very powerful scene with silence. We want you to focus on Ruby, watching Ruby's dad during this scene. And then the second clip takes place right after the concert. And to give you a cue on your handout, if you want to look at the right side, you can be thinking about this question from, it says number 3B. During and after the concert scene, what progression of emotions can you see in the father's face? I'm going to show you those clips now.
And now, I have a special treat. Sometimes you hear a voice and it reminds you to keep making music. Please welcome Miles Patterson and Ruby Rossi.
See, you were my destiny.
With my arms open wide, I threw away my pride. I'll sacrifice for you, dedicate my life to you. I will go where you lead, always there.
Frank and Jackie linger behind.
I'm going to get some air.
Okay.
She pats his chest and heads in with Leo as Frank lumbers over to the pickup and leans against the back. Ruby watches and joins him. She hops up onto the tailgate.
What's up?
Just thinking.
They stare up at the night sky.
The stars here, they don't look as good as they do on the water.
Ruby nods in agreement, turning back to the sky. Frank wears a serious expression as he watches her face and hops up on the tailgate beside her.
The song you sang tonight, what was it about?
Ruby stares off, pensively.
It was about what it is to need another person.
Frank narrows his eyes, studying her.
Can you sing it for me?
Now?
Please.
Ruby smiles and pivots to face him. He repositions, facing her and watching intently.
Like the sweet morning dew, I took one look at you, and it was plain to see you were my destiny.
He gently feels her throat.
With my arms open.
Louder,
wide,
more.
I threw away my pride. I'll sacrifice for you. Dedicate my life to you.
He feels with his other hand, and she clasps his wrist.
I will go where you lead. Always there in time of need. And when I lose my will, you'll be there to push me up the hill. There's no looking back for us.
His face tightens with emotion.
We got love, sure enough, that's enough. You're all that I need.
He shuts his eyes.
To get by.
Ruby lifts her brows inquisitively, rubbing her thumb over his hand. He pulls her closer, kissing her forehead. She leans on his...
Oh, I'm not crying, you're crying. This scene, this one beautiful scene, is actually why we wanted to talk about this movie. So what did you see in the dad's face and behavior? For me, at first, it turned to curiosity. He became curious. Curiosity means putting our own assumptions and judgments aside and observing and wondering. This is what I saw the dad did. When he saw her at the concert, what he saw at the concert wasn't enough. He went to her. He asked her questions. He prompted her to step out and truly listened to her. By touching her vocal cords, all of his focus on her, watching her facial expressions. This is love. This is connection. Where in your life are you given the opportunity to get to know people that are different than you? Maybe it's someone with different beliefs, different opinions. Maybe they're a different skin color, race, ethnicity, political party. Maybe someone in the LGBTQ community. How can we take advantage of opportunities and really see them? How do we love others who are different than us? Parents, how can we love our children when they go in a direction that's different than what we expected or saw for them? Kids, how can we love our parents when we don't agree with their choices? How can we become curious to understand them better? How do we love our neighbors who live differently than what's expected or normal? 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because he first loved us." Because of God's great love for us expressed through Jesus, we can love like that. We see in the New Testament scriptures time and time again that Jesus sought out and loved those in the culture who were regarded as different. Jesus saw them and loved them. In Matthew 20, Jesus is confronted with two blind men who call out to him from the side of the road, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." And Jesus had compassion on them, and he touched their eyes. He heard them, he saw them, he had compassion on them, and he touched them. Jesus connected with people using his senses. He saw them, listened to them. He didn't shy away from touching someone with leprosy. He rubbed mud on the eyes of a blind man. He didn't flinch when the woman with the bleeding condition touched him. He sat and ate with those in society, those that society had labeled as sinners. He spent time with them. He got to know them, and he loved them. I love this verse in Zephaniah 3:17 that says, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." God takes great delight in you, not in spite of your differences. He loves you in your differences. And because of this great love for us, we can love others the same way. I see this in Ruby's dad. Ruby stepped into her gift, which took courage, and her dad, despite the fact that he couldn't really fully understand at first, he pushed past the barriers that limited him so he could try and understand her better. He became curious. He opened his eyes. He asked her about her different part about her. He reached out and touched her, all of this showing that he wanted to understand. He wanted to connect, and he took great delight in her. This is love. This is the love God calls us to see people's differences, to be curious, not judgmental, to let that curiosity drive your action to see, hear, ask, touch, and seek to understand, and to take great delight in others for who they are.
Now we're going to move into communion as a time to respond to God's love and delight for us and the gifts and passions that he has given each one of us. We can also reflect on ways that we can courageously share God's love with those around us who might seem different from us, using Jesus as our example of living courageously. In 1 Corinthians we read, "On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me.'" Here at Cedar Ridge, everyone is welcome to take communion. You can join in communion by coming to one of these three tables and having gluten-free crackers and fruit juice. You can feel free to wait for others to join in, or you can take your elements back to your seat. Either is fine. You can also choose to light a candle in the back as a form of prayer and a symbol of light at the back of the auditorium. You can write out a prayer at one of these stations over here at the Journey and Grow. You can pray with someone in the back. You can also make a financial gift if you'd like at the wooden towers in the back. You can sing or you can just listen to the music. This is a time for us to respond to God in the way that you see fit. So please come forward now and take communion.